I'm waiting, Jones. That bruise on your face, how did you get it? Well, come on, man, answer me. Passage of the Tangmar. The story of a ship and its cargo of death.
All right, Mr. Kendall, I'll tell you. It was me up on deck. You're right. I'm the man who tried to knife you.
Captain Stewart stood looking at me without blinking an eyelid. It was almost as if he didn't care about the fact that he'd been found out in an attempted murder. It was just after six bells on the third night out from Sydney, bound for Papeete and then Jamaica. Already, Ben Miller, the casual Australian who'd been one of the six beneficiaries under the will of Victor Quedriman of Savannah La Mar, was dead. And earlier that night, I'd been attacked on deck by a man with a knife. The same knife that had been used to kill Ben Miller early that morning. While I'd questioned the obvious suspects, until now I'd overlooked Jones. I'd wasted valuable time while the answer had been within my grasp.
Well, you're satisfied, Kendall? I admit it.
But why did you do it?
Orders.
Whose orders?
Skipper's.
What?
You heard me. Captain Goddard wanted you out of the way, and I said I'd take care of it for him.
You must be out of your mind, Jones. Why would Captain Goddard want me killed?
You better take that up with the skipper.
What about Ben Miller? Was that done at the captain's order?
Now, listen, Mr. Kendall, I don't know anything about that bloke Miller's death. So don't try and pin it on me.
Maybe we'd better go up to the bridge and see Captain Goddard, and then we...
Excuse me, Kendall?
Yes, sir, I do. Mind if we step into your cabin?
Oh, come in. Don't let's make it into a session, though. I'm tired. Here, sit down. Trying to persuade Cregan to give me a few more ribs is more exhausting than piloting the Tangmar through a hurricane. And what's the trouble?
Well, go on, Jones. Let the skipper hear what you told me.
He knows, skipper. About tonight.
Knows what? What the devil are you driving at?
Oh, don't try and back out on me now, sir. The knife business, remember? You told me to take that knife that killed Miller and do a job on Kendall.
What in tarnation are you talking about?
A plan to get rid of Mr. Kendall. You got a short memory, ain't you, Skipper?
Why, you... get up, Jones. You wharf rat. Get up off the floor and I'll beat the living daylights out of you.
I'll let him alone, Captain Goddard. Beating up Jones isn't going to help either of us.
It's going to help me a lot. Why, that lying rat. You don't believe this, do you, Kendall?
I don't want to, sir. But why would he make up a yarn like that?
I don't know, but by heavens, I'm going to find out.
He been with you long, Skipper?
Joined the crew at Tilbury just before we left. Why?
You never set eyes on him before?
Never. And as soon as we reach Papeete, I'm going to make sure I don't have to again. Yes. All right, Jones, let's have the truth. Why did you try to implicate me in this?
Okay, you win. It was all my own idea. The whole thing.
But why bring me into it?
Well, because I thought Mr. Kendall might stop rushing around asking questions, poking his nose in where he ain't wanted. Well, if he thought you wanted him to keep quiet.
Mr. Kendall is asking those questions because I told him to. There's a murderer aboard my ship, and I want him found. Do you understand that?
I was only trying to scare him off, Skipper. I wasn't going to hurt him.
Well, it didn't look that way to me. If you didn't have something to hide, you wouldn't care a brass razoo about answering any questions.
I don't like coppers, that's all. Yeah, I know you, Mr. Kendall. I can smell a policeman a mile off. You might fool some of the people on this ship that you're a sailor, but not me. I've seen too many of you.
Oh, you've got a record, eh?
So what?
Get him out of here, Kendall, before I...
Wait a minute. And you thought that because one man has been killed, you'd join the party too. Is that it?
Work it out for yourself. I just don't like your kind, Kendall.
Didn't you like Miller either?
Yeah, I knew you'd get round to blaming that on me, but you can't because I've got a foolproof alibi. Miller was killed this morning, wasn't he, at 6?
That's right.
Well, I was in the galley, see, getting some coffee for the skipper. You can ask anyone you like. I was in the galley from about 5 till after 7.
The cook see you?
Yeah. And before 5, I was in me quarters. I walked to the galley with Pete Jenkins.
Did it take you 2 hours to make coffee?
We was just talking, that's all. Too bad, copper.
He brought my coffee to the bridge at 7, Kendall.
Well, there's no need to lock him up, Captain. I don't think Jones will try anything again. He might as well work his way to Papeete.
But he tried to kill you.
And threw me off the trail. I started to think there was a connection between the deaths of Slavin and Miller and the attack on me. I should have realized there'd be someone on board who'd recognize a policeman.
I can smell them.
And get this clear, Jones. You put one foot wrong between here and Tahiti and you leave the ship under guard. I'll prefer charges and I'll make them stick.
You don't scare me.
Perhaps not, but I've got bigger fish to fry than a petty criminal who thinks he can scare me off. And there's another thing. Mention to one person on board that I'm with Interpol and you'll regret it. Is that clear?
Okay. You hold all the cards.
Now get out. And stay off the deck at night. That's an order.
Looks like I gotta thank you, Mr. Kendall.
Just get out.
Listen, Kendall, you don't think that I...
Oh, forget it. I'm grateful to Jones in a way. He explains how the knife was taken from your cabin and he explains the attack on me. Now I can concentrate on finding who killed Ben Miller.
This is an unexpected pleasure, Major Challoner. Since we left Sydney, you have never joined us in here.
In 5 days, it is possible to grow very tired of your own company, Miss Vladeroff. My cabin was starting to give me claustrophobia.
I hope you don't hold a grudge against me, Major, but it was necessary to tell Kendall what I knew.
I would not be here in the lounge if I held any grudge, Doctor. But I am here about the death of Mr. Miller.
You know something?
Not yet. And it seems that in the 2 days since Miller was killed, something should have come up.
We were saying that just before you came in.
Death is an after-dinner conversation.
Major, it's no laughing matter.
My dear Dr. Lawler, I'm very well aware of that. Mr. Kendall's inquiries don't appear to be producing results. It occurred to me that perhaps we might be able to solve the mystery.
How?
We each of us stand to gain considerably by Miller's death. We all of us appreciate that, I'm sure. Just as we gained by the death of Peter Slavin. Mr. Tucher, do come in. Good evening, Mr. Tucher. You're just in time to assist us all.
Me? In what way, Major Challoner?
Simply by being here. Now, we are the 4 remaining beneficiaries. We each of us want desperately to reach Jamaica alive, correct?
Oh, yes.
I suggest, therefore, that we are faced with 2 alternatives. One, that someone in this room is a murderer.
If that is meant for me, Major.
My dear Tucher, I have been acquainted with your unfortunate background. I'm speaking only of the present.
Oh?
If we are all of us sure that we are innocent of the murders of Slavin and Miller, then there is a second alternative. That we form ourselves into a mutual protection society.
How, Major?
Mr. Wherryman's will states that only those who arrive in Jamaica on the Tangmar share in the million he left. A quarter of a million each. It's more than enough for me, I assure you.
I don't see what you're driving at.
No? Well, then let me finish quickly. I'm convinced that the killer Mr. Kendall is after is unknown to us. But for some reason of which we know nothing, there's a person on this ship who stands to gain considerably by our deaths. In other words, a person who has been engaged to see that none of us reach Jamaica alive.
What?
That sounds horrible.
It is horrible. It reminds me of the sniping tactics we encountered on patrol in India. A column of men being whittled down, the stragglers being picked off one by one as we are being picked off.
Don't say that, Major Chandler,
Dr. Lawler, instead of accusing each other, as has been the case since we left Sydney, let us pool our information and our resources. We 4 of us stand alone. Our chance of survival will depend on how quickly the murderer is arrested. Agreed?
Of course.
Good. Then this is what I suggest. That we meet here after dinner each night to discuss the day's activities.
But if Mr. Kendall is unable to find out anything, how can we?
We are 4, Mr. Tucker. At some stage, one of us will be approached by the killer. When and where, I can't say. But any suspicious action by anyone on board must be relayed to the rest of us at once.
Don't you think you're being a little melodramatic, Major?
I want to live, Doctor. Believe me, I've given this matter a great deal of thought.
But how do we signal for help?
That is the problem, I agree. I suggest you each take one of these whistles.
How many times should we blow?
2 long blasts, Tucker. If they're blown hard enough, one of us should be somewhere close enough to hear.
Oh, it seems so silly.
Now, look here.
I know what I'm talking about, Dr. Lawler. As individuals, we may well go the way of poor Miller. At least this way, we stand a chance. 2 blasts means that one of us is in danger and the rest of us will come to his or her assistance.
Like this.
Exactly. Blowing that whistle at the right time may save you £250,000. Incidentally, of course, it will also save your life.
Steamed steadily northeast to Papeete. And in the 2 days since the death of Ben Miller, I had come no closer to finding his killer. At that moment, I didn't know that before we reached Papeete, death would strike again in this passage of the Tangmar.